Parshas Lech Lecha opens with a verb or an instruction. Go. There's not much of a conversation. Avram gets the verb, he gets the command go. Vayelech Avram, he goes. The next verb is Vayikach. Not only he goes, but he takes his wife, he takes his household, and he sets off for the land of Canaan. And then he arrives in the land of Canaan. After Vayavayu, the next verb is Vayaver. Vayaver Avram, Avram goes, he passes, and he comes to certain places. We identify geography of Eretz Yisrael for the first time. Mekom Shechem, the area of Shechem, Elon Morah, we know where these places are today. And the Canaani at that time is in the land of Israel. In chapter 12, verse 7, the Torah says, Vayera Hashem al Avram, this is unprecedented. God has never shown himself. He's previously spoken. Now God reveals himself. Abraham merits a higher level of prophecy because he's come to the land of Israel. And he promises him, your progeny is going to receive this land. So a reiteration of the promise of progeny, and now a promise of the land. Abraham has never heard anything like this before. His response, once again, Avram says nothing. He's a man of action. Vayiven. He builds a mizbeach as Hashem has shown himself to him. If you take a look in Rashi, chapter 12, verse 7, Vayiven sham mizbeach, Rashi says, al besuras hazera, al besuras eres Yisrael. He builds an altar. He acknowledges the good news. He's going to have children. They will inherit this land. Many of the Midrashic sources maintain that it was only al besuras Eretz Yisrael, that Avraham Avinu built this altar only because of the good news of Eretz Yisrael. Rashi clearly does not follow that school of thought. He says, besuras hazera, the Maharal of Prague explains, because the having children was contingent on the land, and now when Avraham Avinu receives the promise in the land that he will have children, and he receives the promise that these children are going to inherit the land, all of a sudden it becomes very real to him, so he responds by building an altar. Okay. Verse 8, Vayatek. Now we have a new verb. Avram has removes himself or sets forth, uproots himself from that mountain, and he goes. We have the next geography of Israel identified. It's called Beis Kel. And then, Vayet Ahalai. He builds a tent, pitches his tent. The Medrash Rashi quotes this, says, first he pitches his tent for his wife. This is 3,700 years ago. Women had no rights whatsoever. They were treated as objects or property. Yet Avram Avinu, I'm not going to say enlightened. It's not enlightened. This is light years ahead of his time. Avraham Avinu, who follows Torah values, always respected his wife. First he pitches a tent for her, and then he goes ahead and settles everybody in. And the next thing he does is Vayiven. Again, more building. What does he build? He never builds a home. He builds an altar. And once again, offerings are brought. Vayikra b'shem Hashem. This time, not only he builds the altar, but he also calls out the name of Hashem. And Rashi here comments, Vayiven, why is he building Sham Mizbeach? Rashi says that now that Avraham Avinu heard about his children coming to the land of Israel, he knows he's going to have a progeny or a nation that comes forth from him, and that they're going to come into the land of Israel, prophetically in tune now with the future. Nisnabe Shaasidim Bonav Lehikoshel Sham. Now he knows that his children are going to stumble there. And this stumbling is going to cause a temporary moratorium on the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. The Jewish people are not all of a sudden successful, and there are fatalities. And Yehoshua throws himself on the ground, and he prays, and the elders pray, and God responds to them, and Ochon, the criminal, is identified. So, once again, an altar built, and Rashi gives us a reason. Which brings us to today's class. In the very end of the second reading, we say that Avraham Avinu is now hugely successful. And he's so successful that he goes back to the Mizbeach that he built originally. Okay, so everything worked out. He came back to the land of Canaan after a temporary leave, a leave of absence due to the famine and economic depression. He comes back to the land of Canaan, and the third reading opens with the story of Lot. Lot is with Avram. And as Avram has benefited and Avram has become wealthy, Lot too has experienced success. Poor families get along sometimes. Rich families well, let's just say get along far less often. There's money involved, and the politics and the fights begin. So first, Lot's people can't get along with Avraham's people, but ultimately this goes right back to the top, and Avraham and Lot are not seeing eye to eye at all. Lot wants to live a libertine and immoral life. Avraham Avinu wants to live a holy and righteous life. It's not working. Avraham Avinu at some point realizes that there's no way to resolve this issue. The only way is just going to have to be a separation. And so he says to Lot, we need to separate. You go your way, I go my way. And Lot happily does this. He says, I'm tired of Avraham and his God, his ways, his morality. It's not for me. So Lot heads off into the most sinful place in the entire region, the place known as Sodom. And Avraham now, achare he pared loit me'imai, we're now in chapter 13, verse 14. God is speaking again. Vadashem amar el Avraham. God speaks to Avraham, achare he pared loit me'imai. After Lot has separated from him, he says to Avraham, sonoi necho. Now Avraham has a new action required. And this action is not hands, but eyes. Raise your eyes, he says, ure'ei, and see, min hamokim asher ata sham, from the place you are now. You'll see tzafoina, you'll look north, v'negba, you'll look and see south, v'kedma, to the east, v'yaman, to the west. So please, look in all directions. Says Rashi, the pasuk emphasizes this is after Lot separated from Avraham. Kol zman shaharasha imai, as long as the wicked one was with him, hayahadibur peirishimenu. So then God's presence and the communication that Avraham had merited suddenly had departed, stayed away from him. God wasn't communicating with him. And the reason was because there was static. There was something getting away of the communication, and his name is Lot. But now that Lot is gone, God is suddenly speaking to Avraham again. And he says to him, raise up your eyes and see this land, look in all directions. Verse 15, ki, because, es kol ha'aretz asher ata re'ya, this whole land that you see, l'cha etanena, I'm going to give it to you, says God. Ulezaracha, and to your progeny, ad olam. So here God emphasizes, not that he's going to give it only to the future generations, but here for the first time, God says, l'cha etanena, I give it to you. Oh, and by the way, this progeny, this nation, these children of yours, v'samti ezaracha kafar ha'oretz, I will place that nation, they will be like the dust of the ground. Asher im yuchal ish limneis esafar ha'oretz. Can anybody count the grains of sand? Can anybody count the particles of earth? Of course not. Gam zaracha yimana. That's how people will be able to count your children. Nobody will ever be able to figure out really how many Jews there are. And in a larger sense, of course, this means it will be an enormous nation. Sadly, this hasn't happened yet, but it will when Mashiach comes, because the Torah says so it will happen. As Rashi says, Kishem, she'yef shela ofer lehimanis, just as you can never count the grains of sand, nobody can ever count the particles of soil, it's an impossibility. Kach zaracha lehimanis, so too, your seed will never be counted. There are many meanings to this, but I'm not going to delve into that right now, of how exactly, on some level, this has been fulfilled time and again, and on some level, we're still waiting for the rest of the promise. Hashem says, Kum hishalech ba'aretz. He now charges Avraham with a new verb, a new action. Come, walk through the land, la'arko ularachba, in the length and in the breadth, ki l'cha etanena, because I'm going to give it to you. So here we have not even an emphasis on l'zaracha, not even saying I'll give it to your progeny, but l'cha etanena, I'll give it to you. And then because I'm going to give it to you, you need to walk throughout the land. What does Avraham do? Vayehal Avraham. Avraham begins to set up his tents. Vayovoy vayeshev belini mamre. He sets himself up. He actually settles in the land of Mamre. Asher bechevron. So funny enough, God never told him to go. But Avraham was constantly in motion. Now God tells him, go. Avraham settles down. And he settles in Chevron. Yivin Sham Mizbech La Hashem. There he builds Mizbech, an altar for God. So Ramban talks about this and he says, well, it's possible that wasn't really a command. Maybe it was just God telling Avram, you can go where you please. You have no fear, no inhibitions. This land is yours. But then he says, more likely it is a command. But this was not a command for Avram to discharge immediately, but rather a command that Avram would fulfill for the duration of his lifetime. For Avram has about 100 years left to live, and during that time, he will live throughout the land of Eretz Yisrael. As Rabbeinu Bechaya emphasizes and develops the idea of the Ramban, he says, from this point onward, Avraham Avinu is now in the process of acquiring the land. So here's the gift. These are the borders. This is the area. Acquire the land. Make it yours. And how will Avraham make it his? Oh, he makes it his by Yeshiv, by settling down. And once again, so here, for the first time, Avraham settles down in the land of Israel, but he still doesn't build himself a house. He must have lived in some kind of tent city. What he does build, he does do some building. And the building is Vayiven Shom Mizbeach LaHashem. He builds an altar. Now, Avraham Avinu's grandson, Yaakov Avinu, he comes to Eretz Yisrael, and even for a few months he builds. He builds himself a house. He builds a stable or a temporary dwelling for the livestock, for the animals. Yaakov is building, always building in Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't build. Avraham doesn't build. He's happy to live in cloth. But he builds altars. This is what he does. Yitzchak digs wells and develops wells. Avraham's development seems to be limited to altars. Okay, so what's the reason for this altar? We take a look in Rashi and we are met with stony silence. We don't know the reason for this altar. We have nothing, no inkling of why this altar is being built. Which is rather odd because the first altar, Rashi gave us a whole business about that. That's because Besuras Ha'aretz and Besuras Hazera, unlike some of the Midrashim which say only Besuras Ha'aretz, which is kind of logical because Avraham Avinu had already heard about the progeny. But nonetheless, like Maharal explains how it became real, Avraham builds an altar. Okay. And then he builds another altar. Say, what's up with this altar? He didn't get another communication. He didn't receive another promise. And the answer is yes. But now he's prophetically in tune with the future, and his children are going to stumble here. They will have difficulty when they come to reestablish themselves or come to conquer the land of Eretz Yisrael and make it theirs. So, Ayiv Hashem Mizbeach, he's got to build an altar. And here, Avraham Avinu actually settles down. He's told to acquire the land. He doesn't build a home. Doesn't build a neighborhood. Doesn't build a factory. But he does build an altar. Here he is. He's in Elone Mamre. Elone Mamre, there's a version of Rashi that says this is a very meaningful name because Mamre comes from the term rebellion. And Mamre was a man who rebelled against the idolatry of the day, so Avraham identified with him. That's all nice, but why does Avraham build an altar? What is the purpose of this altar? And if Avraham's altar building does not require explanations, why did it require explanations the first two times? And if it requires no explanation, if it does require explanation, why does Rashi not explain anything here when Avraham builds an altar for the third time? This will be the subject of the balance of today's class. So, on page Kuf Samach Beis, Simen Yud, the Rebbe opens by reviewing Avraham's altar-building career. And he talks about the first altar, which is found in verse 7. He talks about the second altar, which is found in verse 8. And he quotes the reasons for building those altars, which we have shared this morning. And the Rebbe asks, L'cheira kasha, something here is not adding up. Since Rashi took it upon himself to explain the reason for the first two altars, why is it here? When it comes to the building of the third Mizbeach, which this Mizbeach is built in the city of Hebron, Sosam, Rashi says nothing. He says absolutely nothing about it. And the interesting thing is that the Bereishis Rabbah says the three altars of Avram are connected to the three Bate Migdash. So the first altar corresponds to the first Beis HaMikdash. The second altar corresponds to the second Beis HaMikdash. So the third altar corresponds to the third Beis HaMikdash, which is most important of all, because the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed after 410 years, and the second after 420 years. But the third will last for posterity, and here Rashi says nothing. V'yesh Levar. So the Rebbe sets out to explain this in the following fashion. Amru Chazal, our sages of blessed memory, taught. Simon Nosan loy HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avraham. God gave a sign to Avraham. This is a quote from the Medrash Tanchuma. Shekol ma she'ira loy, ira levonav. Whatever will happen to him will necessarily happen to his children. This Medrash is later developed by Ramban, where Rachmanides, in his commentary on our Parsha, says, Shekol ma'ase ha'avos, that all the things that happened to the fathers, quote, boim lelamed al ha'asid, they all have futuristic kind of messages. They're all coming with an eye to the future. Ki kasha yavai hamikra lenavi mishleishas ha'avos, because just as a message comes to a prophet and the prophet figures out what's going to happen, so too you have to simply contemplate what happened to the patriarchs, and from this you could understand what will happen to the Jewish people. All of our life and all of our history is already encoded in the narratives of the patriarchs. That's what Ramban says. So the Rebbe says, V'chein b'inyonenu, then so too with regard to our subject at hand, Abraham's altar-building career. He built three mizbechot. He does not build mizbechot after. All three altars that Avram builds are found in Parshas Lech Lecha. In Parshas Vayera, Avram Avinu does other things. In the Parshas Chayesara, he founds the first cemetery, first Jewish cemetery. But here in Parshas Lech Lecha, he builds altars. And the Rebbe suggests then, that in the image of the Medrash Tanchuma, as it's diffused by the Ramban, it must be that this, the building of these altars, is a siman, it's a sign, it's indicative of something that's going to happen, something of meaning, a nesinas koyach, and not only it's a sign, but it's also an empowerment, lemizbeach sha'asidin livnes banav, to the mizbeach that will be built by his children, b'nei Yisrael. And we find also, with regard to the Mizbeach, that the children of Avram are going to build, we also find three distinctly different dimensions. And this is based on what the Gemara says. The Gemara tells us in Meseches Ksubas on page 10 and elsewhere, that every Mizbeach, the altars that were built by the Jewish people, ultimately serve three purposes. It says the Mizbeach is Maziach, Mazin, Mechaviv. A mizbeach, it cleanses. The fourth detail is mechaper, but maziach and mechaper really are one and the same, cleansing and atoning. Mazin means, comes to the word mazon, which means food. And mechaviv comes from the terminology chaviva, or chaviv, meaning beloved. So basically, the Rebbe says, every mizbeach for us, all of the offerings that were brought, have the notion of three possibilities. Either it's a mizbeach, which brings us atonement, or it's a mizbeach which brings us gifts from Hashem, or it's a mizbeach, it's an altar and an offering through which we express our adulation and our love and our intrinsic bond with God. So the Rebbe says, number one, a mizbeach is mazin. What does this mean? Ha mizbeach goyim lahashpas mazin la'olam. The mizbeach is what causes the blessings of prosperity to come to this world. How do we know this? Because there is actually quotes from our sages like, in the merit of offerings, ha'olam nizan, the world is sustained. So the world has its parnasa because of korbanos. Sha'a korbanos boyim min hamazon v'gormin loy bracha. The korban is brought from the sustenance that people have. You could have eaten an animal, you could have maybe self-barbecue. Instead, you chose to bring a korban to Hashem. So it's something you could have used for yourself. Instead, you gave to Hashem. And as a result, it brings more blessing. The second is maziach, or mechaper, to cleanse, from the word zach, or to atone. Hamizbeach mevatel es ha'inyanim habilti ritzuyim. The mizbeach has this mystical and magical way of neutralizing and removing all kinds of negativity that are engendered through bad behavior. Things which you do to impede a relationship can sometimes be superseded with a gift. It's just the way it is. Bring a gift. We can get past what happened. So the mizbeach is mevatel these bad things. For example, if we behave inappropriately and we engender negativity, it says maziach gezeiros ra'is mal Yisrael. It says the mizbeach removes bad decrees that would be directed against Israel, or mechaper al avinaseihem, the Mizbeach is able to atone for our iniquity and imperfections. We revolted, we rebelled, we did the wrong thing, we caused a barrier between us and Hashem, like it says, avinaseihem mavdilim beini ubeinechem, it's your sins that become a barrier between me and you, and the Mizbeach, or the altar, and the offering is able to remove that. And lastly, mechavev, the Mizbeach is able to bring about a certain love and affection between Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We look good in God's eyes. It's, quote, mechavev es Yisrael el Aviyim. It endears us to God. And the Rebbe suggests that the three altars of Avram are built in this image. The first altar Avram built was as a result of the promise. He expressed his gratitude. Besuras HaZera, Besuras Eretz Yisrael. He got good news. You would have children. They will inherit this land. Okay, that represents the idea of the Mizbeach, which brings actual blessing. Avram got a blessing, he received the blessing, so he's responding. Number two, HaMizbeach HaSheni, Nivna L'Matara, the second Mizbeach was built for the purposes of atonement, even though the sin hasn't been committed yet. But Avram Avinu is trying to shield the Jewish people from future negativity, namely the sin of Achor. HaMizbeach HaShlishi, the third altar. The third altar wasn't built for any particular functional purpose. Wasn't built because of we need a blessing, we need atonement. That's not why the Mizbeach was built. The third Mizbeach was built just as Avram's expression of love to God. And what does that Mizbeach accomplish? It brings about Mechavav es Yisrael. It endears Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lochein, al Mizbeach HaShlishi, loy pirish Rashi shum tam. The third altar requires no elucidation. It requires no explanation. It doesn't need a reason. Because it's not a functional element of the relationship, it represents the love of the relationship itself. Avram Avinu didn't have a specific intention. He wasn't trying to buy God off and get his blessings. He wasn't trying to atone for or shield his children from negativity. This Mizbeach was built l'Hashem, just for God, just like that. L'chvaydei yisbarech. Like a spouse who does for the other, not for any particular reason. They didn't behave badly, so that's not why they're bringing a gift. They're not trying to get the spouse to do something, and that's why they're bringing a gift, but rather, just like that. And just like that is the most beautiful gift of all. And this is Avraham Avinu's expression of love, l'Hashem, l'chvoyda yizbarech. U'bazeh move on! And with this we can understand why this Mizbeach is built in Chevron. Because Chevron, our sages tell us in the Zohar, as well as the Medrash HaNe'elam, comes from the terminology of Chibur. Chibur means connection, union, intimate oneness. Ki mataras b'nei yosei, the purpose of this Mizbeach was l'chaber, was to bring about union and oneness b'nei Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu. May it be. Speedily in our days of it.